Now, a survey has found that students in disadvantaged areas of Queensland are almost twice as likely to smoke than other students from non-disadvantaged areas. What survey found this?
So this is the ASARD survey, or the Australian Secondary Students Alcohol and Drug Survey, which looks at surveying about 4,000 Queensland secondary school students aged between 12 and 17. We conduct the survey every 3 years. We've done so since about 1984, when we worked together on a national level with cancer councils and the Australian Government Department of Health. And it certainly gives us some really interesting insights into a lot of health issues that teenagers face.
And I understand that it found disadvantaged students have more smoking-related issues across the board on smoking, on having friends who smoke, on using e-cigarettes than other non-disadvantaged area students.
Yeah, so quite interestingly from the survey, looking at the high school students from the most disadvantaged areas of Queensland, they were almost twice as likely to smoke than students from advantaged areas. When we drill that data down, we also see that students in the most disadvantaged areas found it easier to get someone to buy them cigarettes. They were more likely to have a male primary caregiver who smoked, and they're more likely to have a female primary caregiver who smokes. So that was quite interesting, but also we found that the students in the most disadvantaged areas were more likely to be heavy, light or occasional smokers. That was 14% versus 8%. They were less likely to have never smoked. They were more likely to have used e-cigarettes. And they were more likely to have at least three of their five closest friends who smoked. So significant data that we're seeing that's quite specific, not only in terms of these students taking up the habit, but being exposed to environments where they have primary caregivers or friends that may smoke and may influence their decision to smoke.
So this sounds like it's not an isolated issue. It's almost institutionalized in those areas of Queensland. How can we combat that?
Well, we do a lot of work to enable disadvantaged communities to address this problem. So we run smoking in disadvantaged communities forums across the state that really give health professionals, people that work on the ground in these areas, the tools that they need to address the problem at this level. More widely across our state in Queensland, we're set to see smoke-free spaces introduced this September. So that covers the entire state. They will be consistent in terms of, you know, banning smoking outside public transport waiting points, pedestrian malls, ferry terminals. So they will be consistent laws across the state. And then on a national level, we have initiatives like Plain Packaging that really are focused on young people, deterring them from taking up the habit in the first place, and really phasing out smoking as an activity that people indulge in or take up as a habit. What we also know, we had a conference in Brisbane last week that looked at a range of different studies across the Asia Pacific. And one of those studies looked at 22 global tobacco surveys. What it found is that up to 93% of current smokers started a habit of smoking daily under the age of 25. So the majority of current smokers globally that they surveyed started their smoking at a young age and they started smoking daily. So really our focus needs to be on these young demographics, deterring them from taking up the habit to ensure that they don't have a lifelong habit of smoking.
The rates are high, but I understand that the overall smoking rate has reduced in Queensland.
Absolutely. So we've seen wonderful commitment from our state government to tobacco control. And across the past decade, we've seen rates of smoking reduced by about 26%. While that's significant, while that's wonderful news, we still need to do more. I mean, the death toll from tobacco-related diseases is high. It's about 3,700 people every year that die from a tobacco-related disease and 370 people that die simply from secondhand smoke. So those people that have never smoked a cigarette in their life, but they've been exposed to somebody else's passive smoke. So not only do we have a responsibility to protect those people, we need to do more to help the majority of smokers who want to quit the habit.
They've introduced a cigarette tax increase just recently. However, some critics have said that it'd make more sense financially and health-wise to, for example, tax soft drinks instead. What does the Cancer Council think of that?
we have welcomed action on behalf of our government to follow the UK's lead on taxing soft drinks. In fact, we've recommended a ban on marketing soft drinks to children and of soft drink vending machines, for example. We think that's important for the health and the well-being of children, of adults, making sure that there's information out there and initiatives in place that help people reduce their sugar intake and their kilojoule intake. That's important. What we also know on the flip side is that tobacco tax excise increases are one of the most effective ways to help people quit smoking. They are important. They're an important role. They're an important part of tobacco control globally and indeed nationally here in Australia in ensuring that people quit the habit. And as I said, the majority of smokers do want to quit. They just need these initiatives, the resources and the support to quit for good.
Thanks for your time today, Katie.
No worries. Thank you.